What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. Today, I am sitting here with Lauren Riggert from Crisis Connections. This is a local crisis hotline here in Seattle, and they do some really amazing things in this community. And so I'm very excited to be sitting here with Lauren today and talking about what they do for the area of Seattle and what we can do as well to help with the people in our lives. So how are you doing today, Lauren?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having me in your office. This is great.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself first before we get started? Just kind of where you come from and why mental health is important to you and all that.
Great. No, of course. So I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I'm not a native of Washington, but I've been in Washington now for almost 10 years now and love it. It's my place. It's my home. And so I grew up volunteering and have always loved helping the community. And so I never really thought that was a career though. I always thought it was just something you do on the side as a passion and not necessarily something that you could do full time as a job. And so as I went through my schooling, when I was in college, realized that they had master's degrees and professional degrees for folks who wanted to work in nonprofits and in the business realm of it. Because cool. Nonprofits are businesses. They run a little differently than for-profits, but they still are businesses. They still run.
They gotta have money.
They gotta have money, right, exactly, to do the wonderful things they do in the community.
Yeah.
And so I went off and got my master's degree in nonprofit management in Case Western in Cleveland, Ohio, which was fun. And then came back and I've been, ever since then, been working in nonprofit work. So
cool.
Program management, volunteer management, and then into development, and been working in development for the past 10 years, development, fundraising, community relations, those types of things.
Cool.
This particular mission that we have, around mental health, behavioral health is a passion for me, specifically. My family members, myself included, we have a mental health challenge. And it's something that is very meaningful to me and making sure that individuals get what they need, get the help that they need, the support that they need, whatever that looks like. And that it's not something to put aside. It's not something to push down. It's not something that, you should be ashamed of having or put into shame of having.
Right.
And so since I've been in Seattle, I've been working for different mental health organizations. And this one, I started working at Crisis Connections a little over 2.5 years ago and love the mission. We are here as a central hub resource for individuals. So we provide support and resources and training for individuals all in this whole state of Washington who are in crisis.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about what you guys are doing.
Thank
and
you.
I mean, the fact that you focus on Seattle, but anybody can call,
that
I think that's really wonderful because it just gives so much more of an opportunity for somebody to get a hold of someone if they need to. Can you tell us anything? Do you have any kind of local facts about mental health and things like that at all? Do you have anything that you can maybe give us just so we have an idea as to what's out there? It's a lot more common than we think it is.
It is a lot more common. And actually, I read a very interesting statistic. I did remember this, that the second the leading cause of death in the state of Washington is no longer, it used to be vehicular, something to do with accidents with cars.
Yeah.
It's no longer, suicide has now surpassed that.
Wow.
And it's now one of the leading causes of death in the state of Washington.
Wow.
And so that's not okay.
No, that is definitely
that is not
okay.
With teens, specifically youth ages 11 to, we say roughly 11 to, 24 is kind of the general thought of a youth, even mm-hmm. though 18 is when you're considered an adult. We do go a little farther.
Young adult.
Yeah. Suicide is the third leading cause of death.
Wow.
For young people in the state of Washington. And so that's just terrible,
Absolutely. There's no reason for that.
And there really, there shouldn't be a reason for folks, you know, dying by suicide. There should be no reason for that. And so, especially with the youth, and we talked about the social media aspect. Funny enough, I was on social media yesterday because it's part of my job, or else I wouldn't be on it. Social media, there was a video that's virally, I don't know if you've seen it. It's a little kid in Australia who seems to be maybe 3, maybe 4 years old.
I didn't watch the video, but I saw the
caption.
Like headline caption. Yeah.
The fact that this poor boy was being bullied at school, and he was saying, as a 3 or 4 year old, I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
Now I think back to when I was 4 or 5 years old. It wouldn't even consider that. They wouldn't even be in my mindset, right?
Yeah.
And so the fact that we're seeing this younger and younger is terrifying to me.
Yeah.
We have curriculum here that we sell at Crisis Connections where it's curriculum for kids who are in elementary school.
Wow.
That are dying by suicide, and they're thinking these thoughts of not wanting to be in the world anymore.
Do you think that has anything to do with just having access to more earlier on than we did, movies and just media in general, maybe from seeing those things from a younger age? And
that's my thought. I mean, I don't know for sure. I don't study it professionally, but I think that's my thought. And I think that's kind of some of the research that's starting to be done, and some of the things that we're seeing and we're talking with our colleagues about in the behavioral health realm, that social media, kids are being exposed really young.
Yeah.
And so, and they're getting a hold of all this information, and then they're disseminating. When I was a kid, we always heard rumors, you know, from kid to kid, you know, on different things. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I think that's still happening, but now they're also being exposed to a wider range. I mean, I had a very close knit of friends. I didn't talk to people in other states or other countries.
Right.
That's happening now.
Absolutely.
And so these are friends that you're connecting with that you've never seen before in person. Mm-hmm.
Through video games and things like that.
Right.
And middle school, I want to say, maybe late elementary school is when like Mortal Kombat came out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
It was a huge deal because they showed blood and all that.
Yes.
And that was a big, big controversy because it was one of the first video games like commercially available that was so graphic and so violent.
Right.
I want to say that was probably the catalyst for all of this.
It might be, you know, I see it in my own life, and I see it that, you know, kids are being bullied by people they've never met. And when you think about, you know, the internet, and when you start to post things, there's a certain anonymity, I can never say that word, that comes with that. Right? Because if you're with somebody in person and you want to, you know, make fun of them, it's a lot harder to do it in someone's face, looking into their eyes versus doing it on the computer.
Absolutely. Right?
And so it gives people a little more freedom to act mean, really. I'm going to be plain and simple. They act mean. They're mean.
Yeah.
And so, we're losing. And it keeps, unfortunately, it keeps going. We're losing that human connection. We're losing
the empathy.
Yes, exactly. The empathy part. And also just how to be social, you know, socialization skills. We're losing that too.
We're all socially inept now because we don't literally physically interact.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's
a huge detriment.
Yeah.
Because we are human beings. Human beings are meant to cohabitate together. They're meant to develop relationships with one another.
We are pack animals.
We are, in essence. And so we're getting farther and farther away from that. And I think that that's having, quite frankly, mental health challenges.
Yeah, I agree.
Bringing that out.
Honestly, I see a future where technology kind of hits a plateau, you know, where people kind of get to this point where they recognize the need for connection, for physical connection, for actual like person-to-person intimacy, you know, and not like romantic intimacy necessarily, but
face-to-face,
you know, and there's a form of intimacy that's more platonic, obviously.
Of course.
So speaking in that term, you know, people are going to recognize the need for that on a more broad, like a more grand scale, I mean, and I think we'll start to kind of set these things aside a bit mm-hmm. and use them as more of a tool than a means to an end.
I really hope so. I really hope it does turn out that way. I really do, because I think that if we keep going down this path and there's no change, you know, we become more and more isolated, more and more in our own bubble, so to speak, then it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's my morbid thought for the day.
What can you tell me about the types of people you serve? Like what are the biggest things that you notice people deal with mm-hmm. In your, like, the phone calls and, you know, that sort of thing?
Sure. So what we've noticed is, so crisis is self-defined. We don't state, well, in order to call our lines, you have to be suicidal or you have to be, you know, on the street ready to do harm to themselves or others. So crisis is self-defined. You can call if you're having a bad day to, I'm considering suicide and I'm on the bridge ready to go. So we get, you know, the full spectrum, you know, of that, those types of calls.
Yeah.
And so we are open to all. We are free. You don't need insurance to call us. You don't need any of those types of things. So it's open to
all. Hear that, guys?
It's open free. To all and free.
It's free.
Yes. Yeah. So we, you know, it because of that, we see, you know, folks from all over, you know, the state of Washington and even outside Washington sometimes as well. If someone from the state moved to another state, they still call us. And we're here for them. We're not going to not answer the phone and not be there for them in the moment of crisis. So normally folks call, actually, people are quite surprised that it's a lower percentage of folks who are actually considering suicide. We only get about 20% of our calls are folks who are in the moment considering it. And you don't want to get off the phone with them because you don't know if they're going to be safe over the next 24 hours. So those are about 20% of our calls.
Okay.
The rest of them run the gamut, you know, in terms of what they really, really are needing. So it could just be someone they want to talk to. We get a lot of folks who are really, you know, frustrated and angry about the traffic, and they just get so worked up, especially in Seattle. It's terrible.
they just need to vent for a minute.
Right? And so we're here for that. But we're also here for folks who are in the middle of the night that have no one else to talk to, and they're alone, and they feel isolated. And so that's one thing that we really believe here at Crisis Connections is that isolation can create that sense of wanting to harm yourself or do those types of things. So connection, any type of connection with an actual human being will get out of that, will cure that isolation, will get them out of that isolation.
That's amazing. Yeah. And so, you guys have something really specific that I think is interesting is the text line that you guys have.
Yeah. So we actually have started texting in a variety of our programs. So we don't have it quite on the crisis line yet, but we do have it. So we actually have a lot of programs here other than our crisis line that are preventative programs. So these are programs where people can call and get information and resources and referrals, so they're not in a crisis situation. So we really want to try to prevent crisis. We're here in the moment if you need us, because there will always be crisis in our lives, mm-hmm. but we're trying to prevent that so that it doesn't get so much in a crisis. And plus two, crisis actually is the most expensive cost to our system. So you talk about people in crisis, go to the ER or go to jail. Those are the two most expensive resources that we have that are open 24/7. And so we really try to prevent it when possible. So we have a Teen Link program that has texting now. So youth can call or text now and be able to talk with another youth. It's a peer support model.
So that's amazing.
I mean, you know, really understanding each other.
That's so important, because I mean, it's a lot of times there's not, people don't know about the resources. They don't feel like they have resources or the ability to talk to somebody about these things. And there's like a fear surrounding having these conversations, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be considered weak, or you're going to be considered like just incapable of handling life or whatever. And so I love that you guys are offering that opportunity and kind of breaking down that stigma and that idea that it's not okay to talk about the things that you're dealing with.
Right.
So, and you know, the phone calls and text option is so, so amazing to me, because like you and I were talking last time we met about the kind of the crossover of technology and how like social media and all of these things have come into and become a regular part of younger generations' lives. And like you and I are on the cusp where we remember life before all of this stuff, and we were used to life before all of these things, but we are also at the age where it's still all the new technologies and social media stuff and all of this is plays a very large role in our lives.
Yes.
And so navigating that can be really difficult, I think. And it's really important for all of us out there to understand that, you know, you might have a teenager or something like that who doesn't want to talk over the phone. Right. You know, they don't want to talk in person. They're used to talking via text and typing it out. And so it's, I love that you guys are kind of bridging that gap.
Yes. We're trying to meet our constituents, which is everybody in the state of Washington. So that's a big reach.
Yeah.
We want to meet them where they're at. You know, a lot of folks who are having mental health challenges feel that stigma, and they don't, it's hard for them to reach out. And so if they don't want to talk on the phone, then that's okay. We want to be able to provide another type of communication so that we can get them the support that they need, and they feel comfortable reaching out. We don't want to make it harder for anyone than it already is, quite frankly. And so we're really, really trying to meet them where they're at and trying to hold space for them. We call what's called holding space. We don't judge. There's no judgment. A lot of times people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
And so we are that sounding board. We also do want to make sure that if someone is actually in crisis, we do have a direct contact into 911. And we always make sure that we create a safety plan with them on the phone so that they're safe in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
So we're triaging that a little bit. If there is some harm to self or others, we want to make sure that no one is in danger. And so in that space, we do, you know, offer that we make sure that we work with them to create that plan. But we want people to say, you know, it's okay. It's okay to have these feelings. It's okay to feel this way.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky in my previous job where I had the ability to go to therapy on a regular basis. Right. And it was a very low cost to me. Thanks to the insurance plan that I got from my company. But I know that traditional therapy is not very easily affordable for a lot of people.
Sure.
And so these preventative mental health opportunities are just absolutely key in helping to change a lot of these like negative things that we see happening from people just holding these things in.
Right, exactly. And what's nice about us is because we're a centralized hub of resources and information as well, because we do house King County 211 as well, that if someone does call and they're like, you know, I really need to get in and see a therapist, but I don't have this type of insurance or I can't afford it, is that we're able to provide them resources and information so that they could find something that fits within their lifestyle and within what they can, their means, so to speak. So we're really trying to make sure that folks can find what they need easily, because our systems in our community are hard to navigate. So we want to make sure that they don't have a hard time finding what they need, especially if they're in crisis.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm really excited to be working with you guys on some of the things that we're doing with the brewery events that we're putting together here in Seattle and giving people that opportunity to have a connection, a physical connection. It's really cool to work with organizations who have similar goal and a similar mission to just really help people become better people. You know?
Yes.
So with that, I mean, we were talking about peer support through texts, and that's what we're doing through these brewery events is creating peer support opportunities. And so peer support is a huge thing. It's a big deal. And it's the cheapest therapy you can get, sure. I think.
yeah, I agree.
So what are some ways that we can help each other out? Like, what are some ways that we can help friends, family, coworkers going through difficult times, and in effective ways, and help them kind of get to a better place in life?
Sure. So, one of the things that, there's a couple things actually. I think when we start thinking about helping others, first doing some self-reflection to really think about how you view the stigma of mental health. Because if you're not okay, if you still have a kind of a stigma about mental health yourself, then it may not portray to another who is having the same issues. And so being okay to ask the hard questions. And that's one of the hardest things that individuals feel when they're trying to help someone who is feeling suicidal or feeling that way, mm-hmm. is to be okay to ask the question. It's okay to ask, are you considering killing yourself?
Yeah.
It is okay asking that question. The thing is we have our own stigma about it. And so when, I'll give you an example. If you see someone in the hallway that you work with, let's say, and they obviously look like they're upset, they're alone, maybe they're crying, maybe not, but you know something's up. I mean, you feel it because you know them. You may not know them very well, but you know them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go up and you ask, you know, how are you doing? And if someone says, actually, I'm not doing so hot right now. You know, I'm not okay. We don't know what the proper response is to that either.
Yeah.
Usually
we pass each other like, how are you doing? Hey, they're like, eh. You know? And you're like, oh, well, I hope it gets better.
Yeah.
We pass by and that's it.
Because it's awkward for us.
Right? Yeah.
And so, you know, if someone is actually saying, you know, no, I don't feel okay, then what we miss as human beings, especially in the world we live in where everything's is so crazy, everyone's so crazy busy, is we need to stop. Look into their eyes and be there,
yeah.
And say
what's wrong,
you know, how can I help you?
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like you're not okay. You're telling me you're not okay. Or, you know, tell me, you know, what's going on, and be there in the present moment with them.
Yeah.
They will start to open up because they see it with your body language and with your words that you're there, that you actually are actively listening. And if they actually say, you know, I'm having, you know, they're actually start saying, I'm having a bad moment. You know, this is happening. I just feel terrible, blah, blah, blah. And if you have an inkling in your mind, they may not actually say it because mm-hmm. they're afraid that you're going to have judgment. So if you're starting to feel like there's some thoughts of, you know, in your mind, like, oh, maybe this person is tired of living or doesn't want to live anymore, then it's okay to ask, are you considering that? Are you considering suicide?
Or even asking if they're just feeling depressed, like if they're dealing with depression, because the depression goes just not talked about for so many people.
Right.
And I mean, that's something that I personally dealt with for a long time was not recognizing that I was dealing with depression because I didn't know what it was.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I didn't know that's what it was. I had no one ever talked to me about it before that. And it took me actually going to a doctor after getting to a point where I was just not functional in life mm-hmm. and not knowing what was wrong with me and finding out that, I deal with a little bit of depression, mm-hmm. you know? And I think if I hadn't had people in my life encouraging me and kind of helping me figure out that's what it was, if I hadn't had people talking to me and being upfront with me about their concerns, I probably wouldn't have ever figured it out.
Yeah, and that's true. Because when you're asking someone of these questions, if they're not considering it, if they're not depressed, they will tell you right away, no, I'm not. And that's fine. But because you were okay asking the question, because you've opened yourself up, now they, if they are considering it, if they are depressed, then they know that this is an open communication.
Yeah.
And that they're actually able to say, well, yeah, actually I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually feeling this way. No one's ever asked me before.
Right.
And then you're able to then help them through that, whatever that looks like. And if they are thinking of harming themselves, mm-hmm. then it's good for whoever the peer support function is to make sure that they stay safe.
Yeah.
You know, so, whether that's, you know, talking with another person, whether that's you staying with them, whether if it's having them call the crisis line.
Right.
You know, because that's actually something that a peer could do is, hey, you're having a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about this, but I know someone who is. Let me give you this number.
Yeah.
They're open 24/7, no judgment. Here's the number.
Yeah, totally. And guys, it really helps to have that on hand. Yes. There's nothing wrong with having those things in your phone available so you can give them to people. I know it's easy to Google stuff, but in a moment like that, when somebody is struggling, it's really good to just have it available to be able to give them.
Yes.
And you know, you showing them that you trust this number, mm-hmm. they're more likely to trust it as well.
Exactly.
So that's amazing. So open, honest conversation,
yes.
communication.
Yes.
What else can we do to help people?
Well, and also understanding your own self, you know, about, you know, your own self-care and your own, you know, self thoughts about mental health challenges and about suicide.
Yeah.
Because if there's ever any doubt, if there's anything in your mind, then that's a little bit harder for folks. So yeah, just really we're trying to take away the stigma. We're trying to make sure that, that it goes away. We want it to go away.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
You know, it's detrimental, you know, to folks who are trying to get help. And if it's a stigma and if you don't want, and if you think that people are going to judge you, then you're not going to say anything and you're going to push it down.
Yeah, that's very true.
And that's why a lot of folks who, a lot of family members and friends who have, you know, a loved one die by suicide, they always say, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that person was struggling. Well, it's because they're hiding it from you.
Right.
They don't want anybody to know that they isolate themselves.
Because they got to be strong. They got to take care of the family. They got to keep up appearances.
They don't want people judging them.
Right.
You know, they don't, because they don't know what their family or friends are going to think about it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important to look into yourself as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, help others.
That's awesome.
You know, that's kind of thing. So, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about it often on here that it's important to figure yourself out and take time out for yourself.
Yes.
To meditate, to go to therapy, to exercise, to do all of these things. And it's not saying that you're expected to always maintain a perfect balance or anything
right.
like that, but to focus on those things and make sure that you know yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others.
Exactly.
So that's definitely a big key to it.
Yes.
So. What's next for Crisis Connections? Like, where are you guys headed? I know you're moving to a new corporate building.
Yeah, new locations. Yeah.
Really exciting.
We're
new facilities.
Yes, we are. So that's one thing we're in a month. We actually are going to be moving into two separate locations.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in Northgate now for 10 years. And so we're actually moving to downtown Seattle, and then we're moving into Renton.
Prime location,
yes.
Nice.
And so we're predominantly phone lines, you know, that we're not a direct service provider. We don't have people coming to see us, like direct clients coming to see us.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that we are around the communities that we want to serve. And so we obviously can't be in the whole state of Washington everywhere, but we want to make sure that we have a presence as much as possible.
That's awesome.
Another big thing that has happened that just came out in January 1 is our crisis line has expanded. So we were just King County. Now we actually have expanded into Pierce County as well as six other regions in the state of Washington. So we're very excited that our crisis line is doing really well, and that other counties want us to be able to handle the calls. And so we now are becoming be able to help more folks in the state.
That's awesome.
And so we're very excited about that. Yeah.
So how can people reach you guys if they either want to put their number in the phone available for, mm-hmm. for friends, or if they need to call, what's the phone number? How can they get a hold of you?
So I don't know it off the top of my head. So we have a 1-800 number. I should know it.
There are a lot of options with crisis.
There actually are a lot of options. So if you want to call our crisis line, we do have a local 800 number. If you call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, if you are located in King County, it will be answered by us.
Cool.
If you're located in other parts of the state, the calls are being answered by another nonprofit organization who does the crisis line in Snohomish County,
cool.
called Volunteers of America. And so if you call, if you're a Washington resident, you call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, your call is being answered by someone in the state of Washington. So we're very, very happy and proud that we're able to do that and partner with the national line for that.
That's great.
So very excited.
Okay.
So you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, or you can call our 1-800 number. And you want me to get that for you?
Well, I'll actually post it. Post it for you guys. So I'll just put it in the description for the podcast. You'll have the Crisis Connections phone number and this National Suicide Hotline.
Yes.
As well as Crisis Connections website. And you can also go to our resource page on intothedarkblue.com, and I'll have Crisis Connections there as well as the National Suicide Hotline.
Great.
So easy to find.
Wonderful. Yes. Yeah.
So, all right. Do you have any last words? Anything you want to tell us?
Last words. The only thing is that, you know, no one is really alone. You know, you may feel it, and it's very isolating. When folks have mental health challenges, they isolate themselves. And so the biggest message that we want to give is that we're here. We're here for folks who at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're here for you. At 7 o'clock in the morning, we're here for you. You're not alone, and you can always call us anytime for anything. We are here. That's all I want all Washingtonians to know that, you know, that there's support out there for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, all of you guys in general, yes, Washington, of course. But I mean, anywhere you guys are, you are not alone. No. There's always someone you can talk to.
Yes.
And you guys do volunteers as well?
We do, actually. So the Crisis Line, which is wonderful, and it's one of the things that I love about this organization, is that since its inception in 1964, all of the calls during the day, unfortunately, we can't get graveyard shifts for volunteers, but during the day, our calls are answered by volunteers in the community. And so these are volunteers who are passionate about our mission. Maybe they've had someone die by suicide or have a mental health challenge, but that's not obviously a requirement. Some folks are wanting to get their degrees and become therapists. And so this is a great way for them to get their practicum in. But a lot of the folks are just normal people that just want to help. Guys. They just want to help the community. They want to be there. And it's amazing to me. We have over 300 volunteers.
That's amazing.
Here
that's so
at
cool.
Crisis Connections. And that's huge for us.
Yeah.
It's really huge.
Yeah. So, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guys, if you're interested in volunteering and helping out, you can always seek out your local crisis hotline. Yep. And
you can visit our website. It has all the information on how to become a volunteer as well.
Absolutely. And me and my buddy Jay over at Masculinity Mastered, we were actually just talking about coming out and volunteering with you guys and
wonderful.
Taking some phone calls.
Yay, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yay, yes. I'm excited for that.
Cool. All right. Well, we will definitely be seeing you soon then.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, such a great conversation. I'm really happy to be having these interactions with people.
So, wonderful. Yeah. Well, take care and good luck with your organization, Into the Dark Blue. We're really excited to see kind of how you guys get across America and get your message across that males can talk about it and then it's okay. And we're here for them too.
Awesome. So, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Oh, yes.
And guys, speaking of that, we'll have some official tour dates coming out very soon. So be on the lookout for those. And at a brewery near you, should be fun. And we'll see you guys soon. Cheers.
Bye.